Yeah, I was asked to share a 10-minute devotional thought. I told Mark it'll go 10 or 12 minutes. He said if it goes 13, I'll cut off the sound. So we'll try to stay in the time constraints. Well, I have some family members here this morning, too. I just wanted to mention, you all know my wife, Karen. But then Karen's parents are here, Lee and Walda Stoltzfus, and Karen's sister, Bonnie, is here. And then you know Mark and John, my two sons, they're here this morning. And then my niece Jessica is here, and her parents, Jody and Ron, are also joining us today. So some family members, just wanted to acknowledge them. I think I got everyone. the devotional thought I have this morning, I'll get started with that. And just first, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been on a long journey? Or maybe you've been on a short journey. Maybe you were going on vacation for fun, or maybe it was for health reasons. But have you ever been on a vacation or a journey for spiritual reasons? Because that connects to the information I want to share with you today. And the text I want to share with you today is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's the story of the wise men. They were going on a long journey. So let me read that to you briefly. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, I have three questions for you this morning, and then some takeaways. The first question, who were the wise men? Who were the Magi? Well, these were astrologers, astronomers, interpreters of dreams from like the ancient Persian Empire. We would consider it today like Iran and Iraq. But during the time of the Bible, and about that we're talking about 5 BC, these were people who were part of something called the Parthian Empire. It was like east of Jerusalem. These guys were advisors to the king. They spent their nights watching the heavens. They did this for years, and their records went back hundreds of years. They just had star maps. Every day of the year, 365 days, they had a map of, say, December 26. They could pull it out and say, yep, everything looks like it's supposed to. And maybe you've looked at stars before. I hope you have. You know, there's certain constellations you can see. Like, what are some of the things you've seen in the night sky you can identify? Big Dipper, Little Bit Dipper, yes. There's the constellation of Orion, which is like three kind of stars. I see that sometimes. Halley's Comet has always been big, you know. It comes about every 75 years. And these guys, the Magi, they knew about Halley's Comet. It was part of their charts. So they are watching the stars. They have a chart for every day of the year. I was trying to think of what it was like, what it'd be like for us. And I think it's sort of like maybe your drive to work. You know, you see the same things every day. And if something's out of the ordinary, maybe it's a new building, you're like, wow, that's new. So that's like the Magi. You know, they were looking at the stars, and if anything's new, they will know it. And you know where I'm going with this, of course. Also, the prophet Daniel, who was writing about 500 BC, he was part of this group in some way, because in Daniel we read that King Nebuchadnezzar made him the chief of these guys, chief of the magicians, enchanters, and astrologers. So they had a history going back 400 or 500 years to Daniel about looking at the Old Testament prophecies, which is where we're going with this. The early church said there were 12 magi, and not to the Middle Ages did we come up with three, and I think it's because of the three gifts. And in the Middle Ages, they also got names, Balthazar, Melchior, and Gaspar. But it's interesting to think the early church had 12. It's interesting that Matthew alone writes about the wise men. The other gospel writers do not, but he does it. And it's part of his purpose. He is trying to show in Matthew's gospel the Old Testament is reaching its goal. It has been having all these different prophecies for, you know, hundreds and hundreds of years, all coming up to one goal, which is Jesus the Messiah. And that's what Matthew is writing about. That's why he includes them. Okay, that was our first question. Who were the wise men? Second question, why did they come to Jerusalem in 5 BC? They saw a star that was out of the ordinary. And there's been a lot of talk about this star. Was it something real? Like some people have looked at the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn in 7 BC. Or there's been some other things, like maybe it was a comet or something. There's been a lot of talk about that. Or maybe it was just something supernatural, a supernatural star. We don't know. But this would have caught the wise men's attention, because of all their star charts, here is a new star. They're over here in Babylon, so it would be to the west of them. There's a star over Jerusalem. And unlike all the other stars in the sky, you know, if you've been out camping, you see that the stars sort of move, because the earth is moving. You know, the earth is moving around the sun. 365 days we go around the sun, and the stars mostly stay, and that's why we see them moving. But this star over Jerusalem doesn't move, and that really gets the wise men's attention. You know, this is unusual, unique. We have never seen this before, and it starts suddenly. So that gets everyone's attention. This is something to really look at. So what do? They see an unusual star. They probably go report it to the king, because that's their job as advisors to the king in the Parthian Empire. But then they start looking at the prophecies. In Daniel's tradition, they start looking at Old Testament prophecies. And one they come upon, and I sort of think that they had a list of prophecies, a checklist. These have been fulfilled, these have not. And this is one that had not been fulfilled. Numbers, the Old Testament book of Numbers 24:16 says, a star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. A star will come out of Jacob. So that was in their list of unfulfilled prophecies. And here they got this. They put two and two together. This is this star, a ruler. They could also look at some other prophecies. Like in Daniel chapter 7, it says, Daniel 7:13, Daniel is saying, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. So the Magi had that prophecy, talking about someone who's going to be a ruler of all people, and that all people would worship him. Isn't this fascinating to see all these passages about Jesus the Messiah in the Old Testament? You know, hundreds of years before he came, they're predicting it. And the wise men, the Magi, had these as part of their records. Another prophecy from Isaiah, that book, Isaiah 7, 13. Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." Another one from Isaiah 9. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Of those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And then a little later in Isaiah 9, it talks about this person who's coming, this ruler who's coming. They call him Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom. Okay, so the Magi have all these prophecies. They know about this ruler who's going to be born and that the star is going to show them the way. So they see this star, and after seeing it probably a couple nights, they decide they have to go. They have to go to Jerusalem because it's important. There's a ruler who has come, who's been born, and so they want to go and see this and be a part of it. So they pack up stuff and they leave, and it's probably a journey of at least a week, maybe 2 weeks. So I have some bad news for you. Maybe those little manger scenes above your fireplace, those might not be entirely historically accurate, because if Jesus was born in the manger, you know, with the animals, and the wise men had a journey of a week or two, it's going to take them a while, so they might not be in the manger scene. But I like them there. So does Karen. So, okay, let's see. So we're talking about, why did they come to Jerusalem? So they make their two-week journey over the desert on camels, and then they get to Jerusalem, and they just start to proclaim to people, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And all these people in Jerusalem are just sort of looking at each other. They're just like, "What? What are these people talking about?" You know? And it causes quite a stir, especially if there were 12 wise men, you know, coming on these camels. So the whole town seems to be excited about this. And then the king, King Herod, who was ruling from 37 to about 5 BC, he's a terrible ruler, very paranoid and worried about his throne. And he's in a panic, as well as his whole court, because here we have these people from a foreign country coming saying, "Where's the new ruler? We heard he's going to be born. Where is he?" So the king is in a panic as well. Okay, we talked about who were the wise men. We talked about why did they come to Jerusalem. Now let's talk about the third question. How did they find Jesus? So they're asking everyone, and then according to our text, Herod calls his rulers, or the teachers of the law and other people together, and he asks them, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" And they tell him about this prophecy in Micah chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. "But you, Bethlehem, though you are small, out of you will come one who will rule over Israel." So they have that prophecy. And this I wondered about. Why didn't the wise men have Micah? They had everything else. They had Numbers, Daniel, Isaiah, but they don't have Micah. And I don't know why. Maybe Micah was just a prophet that came to the rulers of Israel, and he didn't make it all the way over to Babylon. I don't know. But they didn't have that, because remember, they're saying, where is he? The wise men don't know about Bethlehem. So Herod tells them about that, and then they make the journey. And according to our text, they saw the star again, and it led them from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, which is only a journey of about 5 or 6 miles. Bethlehem is to the south of Jerusalem. So when you think about a star leading them 6 miles and then stopping over Bethlehem, that sort of makes me think maybe it's a miraculous star of some sort, you know, because a star in the heaven, probably not going to do that. But I don't know. It's a good question. It's one of those things I think when I get to heaven someday, I'm going to check into this more. Okay, let's see. So we were talking about the star leads them. Once they get there, they find Mary and the child, and they worship. And it's interesting in Matthew's gospel that the first people to worship Jesus are Gentiles. And that's part of Matthew's message as well. And isn't this interesting that when the wise men go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, none of the Jewish leaders seem to come with them. None of the teachers seem to come. It's just the wise men. Herod doesn't come. So it's like they just totally missed the boat on this, you know. It takes these men from another country to come and tell them that the Savior has been born. And that, of course, complicate things later. So the wise men, the Magi, are the first people to worship Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. They are Gentiles. They provide gifts. They're gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And this is part of Matthew's message as well, that Jesus' birth is important for the whole world, not just the Jews. Okay, that leads us to our final point. I hope I'm not over my 13 minutes. And what takeaways can we make from this passage? And I'm going to ask the group, too. So if you have any takeaways we can take, I have some, too, so don't worry. But what takeaways can we make, or how can we apply this information from Matthew 2, 1 through 12 that we've talked about? Any lessons?
It's important to know our prophecy.
Yes, Tucker, yes, that is exactly right. And that's my first point. I wish we had like a Family Feud board up here and we could say, number one answer, Tucker, yes. That's the first answer, is study the word, like the Magi. They had studied the prophecies. They knew which ones were finished, which ones were not. And we still have prophecies out there that haven't been fulfilled. Can you think of some?
Rapture.
Yes, yes, the rapture, the end times, the Antichrist is coming. The Lord is coming back again. Yeah. And this is not like the people in Jerusalem. They were not studying the word. They were not studying the prophecies. They were too wrapped up in tradition, ritual, power, earthly concerns. They missed the Savior, which is really sad. What's another takeaway we can have? The first one was study the word. Think about the prophecies.
He is everyone's God.
What was that?
He is.
Yes, good one, Jessica. Thank you. Yeah, he's the God of the whole world, not just the Jews. Paula, did you have one?
I think finding Christ and following him is worth leaving everything behind.
Yes, good one. Yeah, and that's sort of related to my second point. So Family Feud, if we had a second one. And this is have faith that leads to action. The Magi responded. They believed. They shared their faith with others. They didn't think about their earthly concerns, their retirement plans, closing up the house. You know, they just left and they came. They had faith that led to action. They responded. What if they were secret about it? What if they came to Jerusalem and they're just like whispering, where's the one that the Savior is supposed to be born? No, they were proclaiming it so that the whole town became sort of in an uproar over this. So they weren't secret about it. So yeah, good. Have faith that leads to action. The Magi responded. The last point I have for you is just about the gifts. And we didn't read this in the story, but this is later in Matthew 2, that Joseph, that night that the Magi came, he's going to be warned in a dream to leave, to go to Egypt, because Herod and others are coming to kill the child. So they have to leave immediately. And they leave during the night, quickly, and they need money. And what better money than the gold, frankincense, and myrrh? As I've read about this, those were easily exchangeable commodities that they would need to get to Egypt, to set up a carpenter shop, whatever they need to do. So that's my last point, is to be used by God to meet needs. These treasures were easily exchanged. Joseph and Mary were in huge need. Have you had times before in your life where you had a need that was met in a miraculous way, where all of a sudden you just got something and you were just like, I can't believe this? That was Joseph and Mary. But we can be used by God to meet the needs of other people in a similar way. Let's pray, everyone. Lord, thank you for these thoughts, these truths. Thank you for your gospel and for the star, for the wise men. Thank you just what we can learn from this. Pray your blessing on everyone who is here, all the families that are represented here and on this congregation. We thank you for this time. Amen.